father. And every faithful heart, fallen brother, can rediscover.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour is presented on Relevant Radio by Stinson Electric, your trusted electrical advisor solving electrical problems for commercial, industrial, and institutional facility managers. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
And welcome to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Jeff Cavins.
And I'm Corey Regan, and we are here. Gosh, I can't believe it's the end of July, and that means we are getting closer to our big Rediscover Catholic celebration coming up in October 3rd and 4th.
We are. It's going to be a fantastic celebration. And October 3rd and 4th, we have two big days of Catholic celebration at the Minneapolis Convention Center. Friday night, October 3rd, we have an entire young adult evening planned with great music, great testimonies, lots of great fellowship, and an opportunity for evangelization for young adults to invite their friends to what might be the most unusual Catholic event that they have ever been to.
Yeah, you've got to get your tickets now. We will probably sell out, and I just encourage everyone to go to rediscover-faith.org. I believe if you click on the events tab, it will be right there, and you can link to buy your tickets for that celebration. This is the second annual, and bigger and better this year.
Bigger and better. Friday night is the young adult night, and then on Saturday, it's an entire day of celebration with Dr. Scott Hahn, Archbishop Coakley from Oklahoma City. We have Leah Darrow. We have Father Dwyer from Busted Halo. We have Curtis Martin from Focus. And we have some Sonar for Music, local group, and Marie Miller, a breakout star in Nashville, is going to be joining us. It's just going to be a fantastic day of celebration and a few surprises that we're not going to let you know about yet, but they're going to be great surprises.
Huge names. And there's Mass celebrated at the end of the day on Saturday. Just a wonderful celebration of our faith and to get together with local Twin Cities people and come together and remind ourselves about why it's so wonderful to be Catholic.
You know what happens that evening, Corey, after Mass? Something that the seminarians are very excited about. It's called the Rector's Bowl.
Bowl?
The Bowl. It's a football game at St. Thomas where I believe the seminarians play priests or they play one another. We'll ask our guest today on the show because Father Barsness is going to be joining us. He's been ordained for about a couple of months now, and maybe he played in that Rector's Bowl, and he can tell us a little bit about it. But coming up on the show today, we are going to be talking with Father Barsness. We spoke to him a few weeks ago. In fact, it was the night before he was ordained. We're going to find out what priest life is like now, just a few weeks into it, and get his insight. We're also talking with Deacon Jim Baus. He is the permanent deacon at Guardian Angels in Chaska. We're going to talk about the diaconate ministry. Who knows? Maybe you're called to it. Maybe God has a call on your life to be a deacon. We're going to find out about that. And then we're going to learn about an ancient practice of reading the Bible.
Yeah, I'm going to learn a lot. That's new to me.
Well, it's going to be good.
Lexio Divina.
Lexio Divina. Divine reading. How do you read the Bible in such a way that God can speak to you on a personal basis and you can talk with God and you can get some kind of direction for daily living? That's what Bible study is about. That's what reading the Bible is about. And we're going to talk about that. It's going to be very practical. If you want to know how to read the Bible on a daily basis and squeeze as much out of it as you possibly can, stay with us on this show. We'll also be joined a little bit later with Kelly Walquist, and she's going to be talking about a special women's initiative.
Wonderful.
It's going to be taking place. So we've got an awful lot coming up on this Rediscover Hour, and we're looking forward to it. So we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we'll be joined by Father Barsness and talk about the first few weeks after being ordained. This is the Rediscover Hour.
Hi, this is Paul Archambault, owner of Stinson Electric, and we are the proud sponsor of the Rediscover Hour. Stinson Electric is a Catholic, family-owned company that serves the electrical construction and repair needs of local businesses, churches, and schools. Our faith and our motto of quality, integrity, and service guides our business decisions every day. For small projects, troubleshooting a circuit, or installing an outlet or light fixtures, we have a fleet of service trucks that are staffed by licensed electricians who are knowledgeable, courteous, and efficient. They have the latest technology to diagnose and repair your electrical problem. For larger projects such as new buildings, building additions, or relocating equipment, we'll help you design, budget, and build the project. Stinson Electric would like to be your trusted electrical advisor. I would welcome the opportunity to meet with you and discuss your electrical needs. Call Stinson Electric, 612-424-7382.
Everything is all right. Everything is so bright.
Yes, sir. Everything's all right. Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. Jeff Cavins along with Corey Regan, and we are talking all about evangelization and the good things that are happening in this archdiocese. And we, before the break, spoke about the great celebration that's going to take place October 3rd and 4th. The theme is Horizon of Hope. And wow, do we need hope, huh? We need hope in our lives. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 19 says that hope is an anchor for the soul. What's anchoring your soul today? What is keeping you in place? What's keeping you stable? Hopefully it's hope given to you by Jesus Christ. Well, Corey, we have someone very special that just dropped by.
We're going to get an update from Father Michael Barsness. We talked with him, I guess it was about two months ago, mm-hmm. That's right. The night before you were ordained. And I mean, I just have to know right off the bat, like, what was it like going in to your first day of work, first day of the rest of your life as a priest? Did you feel different? What happened?
I think it was just complete joy. I mean, just after the ordination, I think going up there and laying on the, you know, putting the face to the marble and just after that, just things just kind of, it just changed, you know, it's just, your outlook changed. You get called Father.
Is that weird?
It's
a wonderful.
Bit weird.
Yeah.
It's a little wonderful at the same time, but it is a very, you know, very new thing.
Yeah. I think such a sense of responsibility you have now, and that would probably be a little bit maybe frightening for me if I was in your shoes.
It is a bit daunting.
Uh-huh.
You know, you get looked up to, you get a lot of people just, you know, looking to you.
Need for, you. Yeah, they
you're
need
suddenly
you.
Suddenly an expert.
Yes.
Expert on living. You know, we spoke to you the night before you were ordained, and naturally it is a bridal spousal relationship that we have with Christ, and to completely dedicate yourself to Christ as a priest is a commitment that is very similar to a man and a woman saying yes to each other and taking vows. And I imagine there's a little bit of nervousness there just because of that, but not to mention the fact that it's going to be a big day, the day that you're ordained. You spoke, Father, about putting the face to the marble, and you're laying down.
Literally
laying down. What goes through your mind at that point?
I guess,
Is your cheek cold? Your face cold?
You know, the marble is a bit chilly, but it's right there. I remember I was laying right before Our Lady and her statue, and just the fact that Our Lady was there, and just all the saints were surrounding me in the litany, and I think it was just a beautiful time to be able to say the Lord is here, you know. And I just felt, you know, the Holy Spirit's presence. I felt Our Lady's presence, all of that, just all at the same time.
Overwhelming.
And it was a little overwhelming, yeah. And then afterwards, giving everyone blessings, you know, just being swamped with everyone. it was quite incredible.
So you woke up that morning as a transitional deacon, and you went to bed that night as a priest according to the order of Melchizedek. And those words are used, you know, you're a priest according to the order of Melchizedek, which...
What does that mean?
Well, it's an interesting thing, you know, that the order of Melchizedek, when priests were priests during the time of Melchizedek, there was no beginning and there was no end. There was no limitation to it. But then later on, the Levites in Exodus 32 became the priests, And there was a limit. There was a starting date and there was an ending date, and it was according to genealogy. But the order, according to Melchizedek, has no end. And so we say that our priests are priests forever, according to the order of Melchizedek, a superior order than the Levitical order. And that's a beautiful thing. So you go to bed as a priest, according to the order of Melchizedek, and then you wake up the next day. That has to be an interesting feeling, to wake up thinking, I am a priest.
Yeah, it's, you know, a priest, according to Melchizedek, you know, it's a very mysterious person in the Bible. You know, you get that little short passage, and it's one of you're just the king of Salem, you know, the kingly, princely, all of that, just kind of all that responsibility, just kind of like, whoa, I'm a priest, people are going to look to me, and it's just, I don't know, it's unreal. And
mm-hmm. Well, I know that you have been assigned to, I'm lucky, Corey, because he's assigned to my parish. You're at St. Vincent de Paul in Osseo, and St. Vincent de Paul has had a long line of great, great parochial vicars. And a parochial vicar, that's someone who is really leading in the school, the associated school there. And we've had Father Peter Williams and others that have been through there. And this last Sunday, you gave a great homily, very just filled with substance. And you did such a great job.
Is it weird to speak in front of big groups that you can see their reaction? I mean, I know you probably practiced it in the seminary and did some stuff like that, but seeing sort of the crowd's reaction.
Yeah, sometimes you wonder, like, see, where's the Holy Spirit in all of this? And you know, just kind of interior, are they getting it?
Yeah. Where,
you know, where's the Lord working in their lives? And, you know, I've gotten comments about how the Lord is, as, you know, we've talked as a family, and different things, and just how people, you know, reacted and it's quite awe-inspiring just how much the Lord uses priests as instruments. Mm-hmm. You know, that's, you know, we're instruments of God's mercy. We're instruments of healing. And that's really how we serve the parishes.
You're a great gift. You're a great gift to the parish. And I know just seeing you come in, you can look at the faces of people and you can see that there's hope. They love it when young priests come around, and it means something to the community. Your dedication to Christ, your love for the church, obviously you and the others that were ordained, this isn't looking for a job. Mm-hmm. It's looking for a calling in life. It's what you're called to. And we respect that, and we welcome you, and it's been
a sign of hope.
Oh, it's been great. It's been great. Hey, we were talking earlier, Father, about the Rector's Bowl. Did you ever play in that?
I did. I played in it several years. So there's two seminaries, St. John Vianney Seminary. It's a college seminary where a bunch of young college seminarians play against us at St. Paul Seminary. So I did 6 years at St. Paul Seminary, and I think I at least had a little bit of a role in each of them, you know, all 6 years. And it's quite an intense game. If you've ever been there.
Rivalry.
Yes, there is.
He laughs,
to say the least.
What? Oh.
For touch football, it can be quite rough.
You need Matt Burke.
I'm going to go now and watch that. That's going to be fun.
It's a lot of fun, though. We've had a pep band between the two seminaries. They put together a pep band, and that's kind of fun. You know, they play the different, pep, and, you know, and people get into the game. It's a lot of fun. And I think it's a great witness that, you know, we're just normal guys just getting out there.
Isn't that true? That's a great way to put it, yeah.
And it's a great way to put it for the priesthood, too. We're normal guys.
You're actually human.
We're I remember growing up, and Father, you're a convert from
I am, from the
Lutheran Church.
That's right.
But I remember growing up, and you go to the store, you know, you drive up, and you're going into Piggly Wiggly or somewhere, or Super Value as a kid, and all of a sudden you see the parish priest in there, and it's like seeing your high school teacher at McDonald's. You think, what are you doing here? I mean, do you eat?
Nervous.
You
know? Yeah.
What are you doing here? We have a way of really building up our priests and putting them on a pedestal, and to some degree that it warrants that. You know, they're very special, and they play a very special role in the community. But you're also a guy.
But they're also
You're my brother. You're my friend. What can we do to be more of an encouragement and to get behind our priests in the Archdiocese?
you know, just you know, loving us, and hopefully we're loving you as priests, and you know, that constant encouragement, but also you know, just that love that comes from the parishioners. And you know, I like going over out for dinner, over to family's houses for dinner, and
take notes.
Just that,
yes,
you know, just that kind of that personal connection. And I know there's been many friends and family that I've met over the years at seminary, and just how they've loved us and really kind of cared for us.
Well, we're going to get you over to our house, and I know a lot of the families at St. Vincent de Paul are probably lining up right now and wanting to bring you over. Parochial vicar, that's what you are over at St. Vincent de Paul. What does a parochial vicar do?
Well, it's assistant to the pastor. There's, you know, it's just one of the names for, you know, it's a canonical name from canon law that we assist the pastor. We assist in the running of the parish and the school. As a vicar, you know, like the vicar of Christ, I represent the pastor. I represent the parish, and so I assist in mass. I assist in all those different duties of anointings, of funerals, all those different.
Is it tied
things.
To the school in any way, or is it? Can you be a parochial vicar and there isn't a school?
That's right.
Okay. There,
so it's not tied. Related to school.
It's not tied to school. In a certain sense, but
okay. Well, fantastic. We're going to pray for you and continue to pray for you, and be nice to check up with you and maybe a year from now and see how this how it's gone for you. Before we let you go, just give us one idea of what's the biggest surprise to you so far in this young priesthood. What's one of the bigger surprises that you weren't expecting, or you thought, wow?
I think it's just the joy of hearing confessions and just being able to help people kind of sort out their lives and heal them. I just thought that, you know, it's one of the more intimidating things.
I would say it would be kind of scary. But so personal.
It is. But it's also, it's humbling, but it's also, it's just kind of one of those things that I didn't expect to like so much.
Wanting to
heal them and.
I hear that from other priests too. The joy of being a part of that healing process. Well, it's going to be a great journey, and we're going to be with you on it and pray for you. I remember before I came back to the Catholic Church, when I was a young evangelical pastor, that sense of responsibility, but yielding your life to God and saying, Lord, you know I don't know all the answers, and I know I don't have all wisdom, but I am with you. And you have all wisdom, and you have answers, and use me.
Use me, yeah.
And I yield to you, and I know that's what you're going to do. So thanks for stopping by today.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it. Father Barsness, and he is the new parochial vicar, newly ordained. He's out at St. Vincent de Paul in Osseo. Pray for our newly ordained priests. Pray for all of our priests. God has given us so many great men, and one of the responsibilities we have as laity is to pray for them and to lift them up to the Lord. And be very, very grateful and very thankful. I'm Jeff Cavins, along with Corey Regan. This is the Rediscover Hour. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk with Deacon Jim Baus about permanent deacons. We'll be right back. Rediscover.
This is Evan Beacom with a cultural note from Catholic Studies at the University of St. Thomas. At a time when most academics thought progress in civilization meant overcoming the influence of religion, the English historian Christopher Dawson dedicated his life to taking religion seriously in the study of history. A Catholic convert, he spent years in intense study and reading across cultures and across centuries. In his more than 20 books, Dawson came to articulate the essential role of religion in human culture and in the study of history. He came to the United States briefly as the first holder of the Stillman Chair in Roman Catholic Theological Studies at Harvard University. In his little book, The Historic Reality of Christian Culture, Dawson deftly lays out his vision of faith and culture. He died in 1970 at the age of 80, and his library and personal papers are part of the special collections at the University of St. Thomas.
Relevant Radio is proud to bring you cultural notes from the University of St. Thomas Center for Catholic Studies. For information on local Catholic Studies events, go to the Events tab at relevantradio.com. Lord of
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Jeff Cavins.
And I'm Corey Regan, and we are here with Deacon Jim Bouse to talk today with us about the diaconate and everything deacon-related, I imagine. Thank you for being here on the Rediscover Hour.
You are very welcome.
Oh, you got a radio voice.
And maybe a radio face.
Definitely.
Deacon, it's good to it's good to be with you. You're out of Guardian Angels. That's where I barely graduated from high school. Back out there in Chaska. How long have you been out there?
Since my ordination in September of 2010, so almost 4 years.
Almost 4 years. I'm really looking forward to talking to you about the diaconate. And this is one of those ministries within the church that people hear about, a deacon. What does a deacon do? Does a deacon deke? And if they deke, how do they deke? And what is your role in the local parish, and how did you become a deacon? But it might be good to start off with, how did you become a deacon? Where did this idea ever come from, and what did you think a deacon did before you learned what a deacon does?
Well, God is very persistent, mm-hmm. and it is a response to God's call. And so from that side, it's being open to the call. And Jeff, I give you credit, because it was through the Great Adventure timeline, the Bible studies that my wife and I took live at our home parish in St. Hubert's, that I began to recognize that call from God, that He wanted me to do something more.
More.
Beautiful. And, you know, it's something that it was, I believe, and as does the church, that it was always in God's plan that I should be a deacon. And it was just me being open to it, recognizing that call, and then responding to it.
How long did it take you to actually hear the call and then make the move to do it?
It had been tugging at my heart a little bit. The scripture passage of "to those where much is given, much is expected," is one that I was looking at my life. I have a very successful life, two wonderful children, now two beautiful grandsons, identical twin grandsons. And so I was going through and saying, okay, God, is there more that you want me to do? And it was that discussion that I had with God that opened me up to it, and it was actually, I truly recognized the call when my wife and I went on a pilgrimage with Jeff and Emily and three of our wonderful priests to the Holy Land.
Mm-hmm. It's funny, you kind of forget about all that and how that went into the equation, but I'm remembering now, yeah, that's true. And all that time, I had no idea that God was speaking to you about a major change in your life. That's beautiful.
Absolutely. And it was the response, or the true call came when I truly recognized it. We went out on the boat. There were about 120 of us out onto the Sea of Galilee, cut the engines. Jeff did a teaching moment of Jesus walking on water, and mm-hmm. it occurs on the fourth watch, which begins at 3 a.m. And Peter sees Jesus and calls out and says, "Lord, if that is you, bid me to come." Mm-hmm.
And look at you. You came right there. You're on water now.
Well, and we're out there. And so that night we go to bed, and I sleep well just about anywhere. And I wake up in the middle of the night and I look at my digital watch, which I still have. Uh-huh. And it does not say 2:59. It does not say 3:01. It says 3:00.
Wow.
And I turn the light on. I asked my wife if it was okay for me to turn the light on, because I wanted to write my journal. And I truly wrote, and I know exactly where the journal is. It's on my bookshelf. And it's, "Lord, if that is you, bid me to come." And I wasn't hearing voices, but I felt the call of come.
And speaking of your wife, what role did she play in you sort of making this decision? I'm always interested in the deacon's wives, because they are a part of it.
Oh, absolutely. We've been married now 36 years. Uh-huh. For the first 26 years, she was Methodist.
Okay.
And it was at her urging that we began the Bible studies at St. Hubert's. Mm-hmm. And a few weeks before we went on the trip with Jeff to the Holy Land, she was received into the church. She was surprised when I said, I think I'm being called to the diaconate, because she had seen deacons, but she really didn't know what that meant.
Mm-hmm.
And the safety in all of this is that the church is very wise in that it allows, it honors women, and at every step we have scrutinies at the end of each year, and four people have to say yes, myself, Margene, my wife, the program, and the church, mm-hmm. for you to continue.
We're talking with Deacon Jim Bouse. He is the deacon since September of 2010. He's currently at Guardian Angels in Chaska. What did you, at that time, before you said yes, what did you think a deacon did?
I have seen, you know, there are great models and examples and holy men that I have seen as deacons throughout the past few years in they're not as prevalent. I was in Wichita, Kansas for 5 years, and they did not have an active diaconate program. But at St. Hubert's, we had two wonderful deacons, Deacon Jim McDonald and Deacon Tim Helmke. And so seeing them and being able to, you know, the role that they played both during Mass and then within the parish was something that I had that call to of service.
One of the things you hear a lot from deacons is they'll say, before I said yes to becoming a deacon and going to school, I had several people come up to me and say, have you ever thought about being a deacon? Did that happen to you?
Specifically, no. However, I was being pulled into numerous programs within the church, being part of the RCIA process. We did have a gifted and called program where, you know, people could write down your name, and I think my name might have come up in that. Mm-hmm. But it was... It's really, you know, I recognized it in myself, and it has been affirmed by other people.
Mm-hmm.
What about the training? What do you have to go through? I mean, it's one thing to say, I think I'm called to be a deacon. Then what do you do?
The training has changed a little bit. Now we have the requirement of the Catechetical Institute, yeah. which lays a lovely foundation. And then it's a 5-year program.
So it's a commitment.
Oh, it's absolutely a commitment. And it's the first year, it's a commitment of both the husband and the wife if
right.
they're married,
mm-hmm.
Because the couple needs to understand what this means.
What it entails for your life.
It is a change.
Yeah.
And again, the wisdom and the beauty of the church is that at the end, I write a letter to the Archbishop asking him to ordain me.
Mm-hmm.
My wife writes a letter to the Archbishop giving him permission.
Oh, wow.
And no matter how good a deacon you could be, if the wife says, no, I don't think this is what my husband is supposed to do, the Archbishop will honor the wife.
Wow. So she plays a huge role.
Absolutely.
It has to be a joint decision. Yeah.
So once you're ordained to the diaconate, I mean, the idea of being a deacon is that you're serving. You're serving the Archbishop in whatever he would like to do as far as using your gifts and your talents. But in the local parish, what are some of the things that a deacon does? What are some of the things that you're doing at St. Hubert's or at Guardian Angels?
At Guardian Angels, I do the baptism prep classes. I do baptisms outside of the Mass. I'll do occasional baptisms inside the Mass. I serve as deacon of the Mass. I generally preach once a month. We'll preach all three of our English Masses. I am the first person for couples who wish to get married. They come and meet with me. If there is a wedding that is outside of the Mass, then I will be the official witness. Mm-hmm. Officiate at funerals, vigils, burials.
But it's not for your home parish. You get assigned to one, is that correct?
The practice now is you are not assigned to your home parish.
Never.
So my home parish is St. Hubert's.
Okay.
My assigned parish is Guardian Angels.
How does somebody know if they're called to the diaconate? Someone's listening right now, driving down the road, thinking, you know, I've had five people ask me if I've ever thought about being a deacon. What would be your advice for the discerning process to bring you to the point where you might contact Deacon Joe Mihalik who kind of runs the program, and to meet with him and say, you know, I got this funny feeling.
Be open. Listen to the Holy Spirit, and sometimes the Holy Spirit is speaking to you through others.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the Holy Spirit speaks to you directly.
Mm-hmm.
And delve into it. Dive into it. And it will become clear. Early in my discernment, I was asking all sorts of deacons, how did you know that you were supposed to be a deacon?
Like, bam, it should just hit you.
And finally, one of the wise deacons told me, are you at peace? And I said, I am. And he said, you have your answer.
And aren't there some informative sessions that people can go to find out more information and to help with that discernment?
We have the inquiry sessions coming up. It's on the Archdiocesan website.
Okay.
There are four nights. There's three nights. I think they're on Tuesdays or Thursdays. I can't remember now. And then one Saturday. And it is something that you come and you hear of the various aspects of the program. You understand the requirements, what the demands are going to be. You also hear of the joys that come with it.
Well, one of the great gifts and one of the great graces in the church today is the diaconate ministry and the proclaiming of the word. And one of the central roles of a deacon is to proclaim the word of God. And what some people might not even realize is that even when the bishop is present, the deacon is the one that proclaims the word and reads the gospel and proclaims that often. And that is such a special role, to lend your voice to God so that God can be heard. That must be incredible within the Mass.
It is. Being the voice of bringing the word to the ears of the congregation. And you know, the first ears that it reaches are mine.
Mm-hmm.
And so even when I'm preaching and I have fully prepared my text, and I don't preach from notes, but it's all written out. There have been times that in the middle of proclaiming the gospel, the Holy Spirit is telling me, you're going to talk about this, and it's something different. And so, and as you preach, and as you know, different people come up afterwards, and they say, well, I heard this, and this is exactly what I needed to hear today. It's never the same thing.
We're going to be talking in just a few minutes about Lectio Divina, and in that process of reading God's word and listening to him, it's amazing how he can speak to so many people with the same proclamation on Sunday morning. You're reading it, and there's 1,500 people that are hearing something
different,
nuanced.
Yeah, the way they receive it is different.
Yeah.
And Lectio is what is part of the process I use in preparing my homilies.
Your homilies, okay. You
know, I pray over the readings, and a word, a phrase, an image comes forward, and you tie that in with what's going on within the community, what you believe they need to hear, how the Holy Spirit is guiding you. And so Lectio is absolutely crucial.
Just a last question for you, Deacon. Are you full-time? Are deacons full-time with parishes? Are they part-time? Are they not paid? Or do they have jobs outside? Is there a rule there? Is there a norm?
The answer to all of the above is yes.
Okay.
We could go find the statistics, but you might think that it's about a third, a third, a third.
Mm-hmm.
I work full time.
Okay.
And I'm assigned to Guardian Angels, and they tell you it's 5 to 10 hours a week. I hate to tell you that, but they lie. It's much more than that.
More, yeah.
But we have men who have retired from the secular world and volunteer full-time. Deacons are not paid positions. If you have a position at a parish, it is not because you are ordained. It's that you bring other talents.
You might be an administrator.
Absolutely.
Right, okay.
DRE, something
right.
like that.
And so we have men who are actively employed in the secular who are deacons. We have men who are retired. And then we also have men who are fully employed in a role within the church mm-hmm. and still serve as deacon.
Well, the gentleman who heads that up is a great friend of the Rediscover Hour, a great friend of the Catechetical Institute, and now the Office of Evangelization. That's Deacon Joe Mihalik. And people can get a hold of him by going to the Archdiocesan website and looking up the diaconate. And if you're interested, if you think that God has called you to the diaconate, you might want to enter into a discernment process. Tell your local parish priest that this is something you've been thinking about. Look up some deacons, get a hold of them. People can get in touch with you.
Absolutely.
Ask you some questions. How would people get in touch with you, Deacon, if they wanted to talk to you?
They can reach me at deacon.jim.bouse@gmail.com.
And Bouse is?
B as in boy, A-U, H as in Harry, S as in Sam.
Fantastic. And thank you, and thank you to your wife.
Thank you very much.
For both of you saying yes to the diaconate.
I have never been busier. I have never been happier.
That's fantastic. Deacon Jim Bouse from Guardian Angels. And Corey, we'll be right back. We're going to talk about Lectio Divina. I think we're all in for a treat. And then after that, we're going to talk briefly with Kelly Wahlquist about some women's meetings coming up. I don't think you're going to want to miss that. This is the Rediscover Hour. Rediscover.
Hi, I'm Paul Archambault from Stinson Electric. You're a facility manager or business owner with electrical or lighting needs, we can help. Have you heard the buzz lately about energy efficient lighting? Do you wonder if it makes sense for your facility? You may not know who you should call or who you can trust. Energy efficient lighting installations are usually eligible for utility rebates that defray part of your initial investment. Often these projects pay for themselves in as little as 1 year. You gain the added benefit of better quality lighting, less maintenance, and energy efficiency. We have designed and installed lighting upgrades for churches, schools, and commercial buildings for customers just like you who are often astonished with the results. We also install and service outdoor lighting on buildings and in parking lots to enhance safety and security. Call Stinson Electric, 612-424-7382.
And welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. Hey, I hope you are having a great day in Jesus Christ. And just a reminder to read your Bible, say your prayers, go to adoration, pray the rosary, go to Mass as often as you can, and certainly go to confession. Do the basics and keep your relationship with the Lord right. I know that sometimes people go through tough times, and maybe you're going through a tough time right now. There's great hope in this archdiocese. And hope is an anchor for the soul. Just a quick reminder, coming up October 3rd and 4th is our big celebration. Now, last year, Corey, we sold out.
We did, quickly.
Sold out, and some people had a little bit of a tough time, you know, accepting that it's sold out. This year we had 5,500. This year, 12,500. I hope we don't sell out without you. I hope that you're not on the outside. I hope you get your tickets, and I hope you use it as an opportunity to evangelization, telling your friends about the good things in the church. We've got so many good speakers and surprises and music coming up on October 3rd for young adults at night and all day Saturday. It's going to be great. So you can go to rediscover-faith.org.
Yeah.
Go get and get your tickets now and pass them out like candy. Well, we want to talk about Lectio Divina. Just take a few minutes to give you kind of a four-step secret to reading the Bible on a personal level. And I know, Corey, this is something that you have...
This is new to me.
You become interested in this.
I am. I'm interested in getting more involved with Scripture. We talked about that last week on the show, the Bible. And I've heard about this method. It's interesting to me because it seems like it's sort of a two-way conversation where you're not only... talking to God, but listening to what he has to say and doing a little more as far as opening your Bible.
What if I told you that on a daily basis, you could meet with God, open the Bible, and you could hear him?
I mean, that just is enough right there. Tell me more.
What if I told you could talk back to him? Not talk back, but talk back to him. And that you could leave with some sense of direction for your day. That's what Lectio Divina is. Now, Lectio Divina means divine reading. And this was developed a long time ago and is a great part of the Catholic tradition, developed by a Carthusian called Guigo. And someone asked me the other day, said, are you serious? I said, I'm serious. Guigo, the Carthusian, developed this four-step method of reading the Bible every single day. Now, here's what I want to do. I want to tell you a little bit about the basics and then the four steps. You can get a, there's a great book by Dr. Tim Gray called Praying Scripture for a Change. Mm-hmm. It's a great book. You can also Google this and find out a lot of good materials on Lectio Divina. But Pope Benedict said that this was the key to the new springtime. So I would ask you, you need a new springtime in your life. Most people say, absolutely. Most people say, no, I want another winter.
When you live here, you need a springtime in general.
You do.
To come much sooner than summer.
So let's look into the new springtime. The new springtime, this Lectio Divina, here's what you do. You got to get a Bible, number one. Get a Bible. Now, last week we spoke with Father Scott Carl, and he mentioned the RSV Catholic Edition, the Revised Standard Version Catholic Edition. He also mentioned the New American Bible. Get it. Get one of them. Get a Bible that you can live in. Get a Bible that you can mark.
A Catholic Bible.
Catholic Bible. All 73 books. And get a notebook, maybe like one of these little Moleskine notebooks you can get at Barnes & Noble, or maybe you use your iPad. It really doesn't matter. Whatever works for you, get something to write down some of your findings. Now, what you're going to do is you're going to take about 20 minutes, and you're going to pick a scripture. And the scripture comes from the Bible.
Well, and how do you just open your book and...
No, you don't just open. No, you don't do that. No, we're done with that. We're done with that right now.
How do you start? How do you pick it?
Well, there's a number of things you can do. You can choose the gospel of the day by going with the Magnificat.
Okay.
You can use the Psalms. Mm-hmm. You can go through a particular gospel, or you can go through one of the other books in the Bible. But what you do is you pick a small portion of scripture. Like, for example, today I'll pick Psalm 23. It's very short. It's only 6 verses. And what you're going to do is you're going to read it, and you're going to read it with great intention. Here's the four steps of Lectio Divina. Number one is you're going to read it. That's called Lectio. You're going to read it. I'll talk about that in a moment. Number two, Meditatio. You're going to meditate on it. Number three, Oratio. You're going to pray. Number four is Contemplatio. You're going to contemplate. And then you're going to make some resolve to put this into practice during the day. Now, because of time, I don't have the time to go through the whole process with you right now, but I would like to give you the basic steps.
Okay.
The very first step is get to a place where you can pray. Get your Bible, get your notebook, get your pen, say an opening prayer of, Lord, open my eyes, help me to understand and to hear you today. I need to hear a word from you. And then, if it's Psalm 23 or whatever portion you choose, read it once. This is Lectio. Read it once carefully. Slowly.
Mm-hmm.
And don't try to figure it all out. Just listen to the words and the phrases that pop out at you. Because as you read it, and you read, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. And if I were to read the entire psalm, one phrase, one word, two phrases, a phrase and two words, whatever, are going to pop out at you. They're going to scream, Corey, I'm for you today.
Mm-hmm.
I'm for you. You write those down.
Okay.
Then you move on to the next phase. Now, this whole thing only takes 15, 20 minutes. You move on to the next phase, which is meditatio, and you're going to meditate. Now, you're a little younger than me, which means that you didn't grow up in the 60s where we learned that meditation was emptying your brain.
Clearing everything out of your mind.
Right. That's not biblical meditation.
That's hard.
It is. That's not what biblical meditation is. Biblical meditation is filling your mind with God's word.
Okay.
And so what you're going to want to do is enter into it.
Meaning?
Enter into the story. Start to see yourself as...
You see the words that popped out at you, and you put yourself...
Yeah, you meditate on it. Use your imagination a little bit. Like, for example, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. If that's the part of Psalm 23 that popped out at me, I would begin to enter that and see the Lord is my shepherd. And my life on a daily basis, with the Lord attending me, being with me as a shepherd, and allowing me to lie down in green pastures.
That sounds great. I'd love to lie down in green pastures.
Nice to take a rest, wouldn't it? Yeah. Would be nice.
That would jump out at me.
So you're beginning to ask yourself a little bit of what this means, you know, to you and what it could possibly mean to you, and how is the Lord communicating to you that he is your shepherd? And then you move on from Lectio, reading, to Meditatio, meditation, to Oratio, which is actually the prayer where you start to talk to God a little bit. And you ask him, you know, am I allowing you to be my shepherd? Am I putting you in a place where you can shepherd me? Am I even lying down in green pastures? What are the green
pastures?
What
is a green pasture would be?
Well, if I was actually praying this right now, I would start to think maybe adoration is a green pasture.
A quiet place.
Quiet place? Rosary?
Mm-hmm.
Holy hour? Daily mass?
A block of time in your day that is not distracted by
Divine Mercy Chaplet at 3?
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of green pastures, and when you stop and let God start to speak to you, you start to realize there's a lot of opportunities here, and I'm driving right by 20 green pastures on the way home from work.
Mm-hmm.
So you begin to talk to the Lord about your situation, and this is where the conversation takes place, and then you come to some sense of resolve of, Lord, I'm going to do something about this. I'm going to listen to you today, and I'm going to stop at our church. And
this is how.
Yeah.
Yeah. What action you're going to take
that day. I'm going to take some action on this. Then you hit that fourth phase called contemplatio, which is contemplation. It's not so much something you do as a place you end up, and that's the place of just restful joy, of sitting in the presence of the Lord and saying, this is great that I've had this conversation.
You're grateful.
Feel like the Lord has given me some marching orders, if mm-hmm. you will. And it's kind of like a husband and wife sitting by the lake at the end of the day and not saying anything, just enjoying the fruit of the day,
mm-hmm.
the fruit of their labor. And that's contemplatio. But the thing is, you got to start somewhere. So I would encourage you to get a Bible, get a notebook, get a pen, and begin this. Great book is Dr. Tim Gray's book on praying scripture for a change. Go Google it. There's lots and lots of information on how to do it. But this is a way for you to hear from God on a daily level, a personal word. And I know that there's been a lot of your family and friends that they've left the Catholic Church and they went to some other church, maybe an independent church or an evangelical church, whatever it is. And they said those words, I left because I needed to hear a word from God. And I felt like I was hearing a word from God in this other group. You know what? You don't have to leave. You don't. You can hear a word from God every day if you'll discipline yourself and enter Lectio Divina.
And it is a commitment. You have to make the time.
Sound like something you want to do?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I'll report back.
I'm going to interview you in a few weeks. We're going to find out how it's been working out.
I'm going to be a changed woman. Yeah.
Hey, speaking of changed women.
Yes.
There's some big things happening in the Office of Evangelization with women's ministry.
That's exciting for us. I think we are here to talk with Kelly Walquist today about women in our archdiocese and some new initiatives you're working on. Welcome, Kelly.
Thanks. Great to be here.
So go ahead. Tell us, what have you got?
Tell us everything.
Well, what? We've got the big event coming up in October, and we're actually going to have one of our entire sessions dedicated to women.
So there's a separate session during the day that is just for women.
Right.
That is different than last year.
It is. It is. It is different. And it gives us an opportunity to focus on those needs that women have. And as Corey, you're just saying, how do you find that block of time? Your green pasture
be
15 minutes without a screaming child.
Right. In my closet. I'm going to lock myself
and that's
there
what we're
going
to look at.
Right.
On that day.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to look at how do we balance that our active life mm-hmm. and our contemplative life,
mm-hmm.
which we were talking about Lectio Divina being such a beautiful way of doing that. Both are really important, especially if our active life is doing work for the Lord.
Sure.
And then we have our contemplative life where we're listening to the Lord and speaking to the Lord. Both are extremely important. But at the end of the day, there's one that's more important, and that's our contemplative life. When we die, so too does our active life.
Mm-hmm.
But our contemplative life is perfected.
Yeah.
And I think as women, it can be a little difficult to balance it at times. We're very, by nature, nurturing, mm-hmm. right? So we want to, I'll do that. I'll take care of that. I got it. And it just piles up and piles up. Right. So at
where 15 minutes can seem impossible to find.
Exactly. Exactly. But what you find out is once you make that a habit, that morning prayer.
And reprioritizing.
It's
move
you're
that
just
up
blessed
the list.
So much more.
Right.
I think it was Archbishop Fulton Sheen said, if you can't find an hour to pray, you better find two.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So once you get into that habit, it is just so great.
See the rewards as a mother or as a wife of the type of person.
Or someone working,
anything.
Huge job.
Right.
A better person. One of the things we're going to walk away with, hopefully that afternoon, is that we're not alone. We're not alone in that. We've got the peace of Christ dwelling within us. We've got the Blessed Mother. We've got the communion of saints who are eager to pray for us and intercede on our behalf, but we have each other.
Mm-hmm.
We have relationships. And though the Rediscover event is going to be a great mountaintop experience, we don't want women coming down from the mountaintop thinking, what now?
Mm-hmm.
So in the Office of Evangelization, we got a lot of really great things and surprises and planned for the rest of the year,
right,
going forward.
What's awesome. Kelly, what's unique? Talking with Kelly Wahlquist from Women's Ministry, you're getting deep into this nationally now and working with women all over the country. What's unique about women's ministry, and what are the needs that you see for women today in this daily busy life?
I think what's unique is the common feeling that all these women, how connected they are. I think through my prayer, what I've been seeing a lot is that where the Lord came to St. Francis and said, rebuild my church. Right now, I just feel like the Lord is coming to women and saying, heal my body.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the body of Christ is so battered, bruised, and broken. And as women, we've been given this gift of nurturing and compassion.
Mm-hmm.
And I just feel
healing,
and that we have that. And before we can do that as women, many of us need to be healed ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And so as I'm traveling the country hearing this, what's unique is just, or standing out unique to me, which is kind of an oxymoron, is the commonality of it. All these women are like, that's how I feel. That's what we need to do. We need to be working within our gifts as women to relate to other women, to help them heal so we can in turn nurture the body of Christ back to health. So
that's beautiful. And I know that there's a lot of work being done on the men's side also, the men's ministry in the Twin Cities. And I think that, you know, when women walk in their calling and the giftings that God has given them, and men walk in their calling and the giftings, there's going to be a complementarity there that's so beautiful. And it's a witness to the world of true femininity and true masculinity and what that means in the body of Christ.
Yeah, even as you're saying that, I'm thinking even that example of St. Francis, where you see him saying to a man, rebuild my church. Mm-hmm. And in my heart, I'm hearing, heal, nurture my body.
Right.
What a beautiful
fix this
compliment.
Yeah. And the complementarity, we talked with Dr. Savage about that and the uniqueness, the way God made us different, but meant to work together.
Right.
Any plans? We've got, of course, the big celebration event coming up October 4th. And on that date, in the afternoon, there's going to be a whole session for men, and at the same time, a whole session for women and a whole session for grandparents.
Right.
So we're going to be hitting kind of all three of those demographics for the big celebration event. By the way, get your tickets. That's rediscover-faith.org. But beyond the big celebration in October, are you working on anything right now for gathering women together?
Oh, actually, we're working on tons of things. Like I said, we don't want to have women come down from that awesome mountaintop experience and not have a peak of it again. You know, we want to keep them nurtured and supported. So we have one big event that we know is already on the calendar. It's February 14th, Valentine's Day, and it'll be our first ever Archdiocesan Women's Conference. We're hoping to see about 1,200 women come together. And it's a great day to let your wife go for a morning,
sure,
you know, and clean the house.
For her.
Clean the house for her. Plan dinner for her.
This show was going really well.
Yeah.
But one of the nice things about that is as it came together, we wanted to have it before Lent started.
Uh-huh.
And then looking at the year and everything that's happening within the church on a bigger level, we saw that we have the synod on the family and evangelization.
Uh-huh.
And then we've got Valentine's Day. Right. And so as I'm praying about this, I'm thinking, this is beautiful. You know, we've got this Saint Valentine. We've got these hearts. We've got all this. And the image of Bishop Cousins' coat of arms just came into my head.
Okay.
And I was like, that's perfect, because his coat of arms is the Sacred Heart of Jesus right in the middle.
Oh.
And then he's got the Immaculate Heart of Mary on one side and Joseph's heart on the other. And we thought, this is perfect. And so Bishop Cousins will be there as well.
So it's a day on the 14th, which is a Saturday.
Saturday morning, you'll be done by 2.
Okay. You know, and where is it?
It's going to be at the Church of the Epiphany in Coon Rapids.
Okay.
Opening the doors at 7 for a little chat and chew. You can come and have some food and talk to some of your friends. And we've got two good speakers, great music, and like with the Rediscover, some surprises. And we always have a saint that we pray to. We've got the Blessed Mother and some other saints that we've been praying to. And this one has been Catherine of Siena. And we took two of her most famous sayings. Jeff, what's that when you bash the two sayings together?
That's called Hekesh in Hebrew, Hekesh.
So we took our Catherine of Siena Hekesh, and her two quotes are, "The heart is always drawn by love," and the other one is, "If you are what you should be, you'll set the world on fire." So our theme is a heart drawn by love, sent on fire. We're going to set you on fire, but we're going to send you. And we're going to continue to support you throughout the year through the Office of Evangelization. We got some great things coming up.
Perfect.
I want to thank you. Thanks so much. Kelly Walk was talking about the women's initiatives going on. Big, big surprises up ahead. Well, this has been a great show, and I'm really looking forward to this fall and all the things that are going to be happening with evangelization. I want to thank Deacon Jim Baus for joining us today, and Father Barsness along with Kelly. And you.
Well, thank you.
It's been good.
Well. It's
learning
been fun.
Learning all about Lectio Divina. And I just want to encourage you as we leave this show to tend to those basics. Remember to pray every day. Read God's word. Listen to his voice. He has things for you to do. He has places for you to go. Get to Mass as often as you can. Pray the rosary. Develop your relationship with the Lord. Do not do it alone. Don't go alone. There's hope. Hope is an anchor for the soul. Horizon of Hope coming up this fall, October 3rd and 4th. This is the Rediscover Hour.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday morning at 9, Saturday evening at 6, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330, and is presented by your trusted electrical advisor, Stinson Electric, serving commercial, institutional, and facility managers in our area. You can find show archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com, keyword rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.